This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's April 23rd, episode 898. Good morning, horse friends.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. Downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Yes, I said it's Wednesday, the day before we go to Kentucky. Woo! Yes, this will be our last show before we get to Lexington, Kentucky, and come to you live from the... from, well, the place God created, the Kentucky Horse Park.
Was that the only place he created, or just the only place in Kentucky he created?
Well, Glenn, he created for like 7 days. I mean, so there's some other places, but it is one of the places on the list that God created, okay? So,
I did
yeah.
see pictures yesterday from on Eventing Nation. They had Tuesday happenings at the Kentucky Horse Park with a whole bunch of the riders out riding, and it was neat to see them there, and it was nice to see that they were wearing short-sleeve shirts. That made me feel better.
Yeah, 75 and 50. I mean, that's the low. It doesn't get any better than that. There's like maybe a touch of rain in the forecast for Friday, but 50-50 chance, which gets the cross-country course perfectly watered and nice. I think it's going to be absolutely beautiful. And if you guys were on the fence about going, come on down, meet up with us. We are going to be at the jump number one 30 minutes before cross country starts, and I'll be the lady with the big giant baby stroller and probably the screaming infant. So I will be there. Hopefully you guys can join us.
And we have Jennifer ordered buttons, Horse Radio Network buttons, and we're going to give buttons out to everybody. So you can wear your Horse Radio Network proudly at Rolex.
Nice.
So we'll be handing those out, too. We figured we needed something to hand out, so that way they can wear it. You know how when you go to Disney, everybody collects little pins? Well, this is our version. It's our version.
Well, this is good because when people say, what is the Horse Radio Network, you can tell them, and then it's like telling 10 friends about us, and we need all the help we can get. So wear your button, tell everybody, and we're going to do, shockingly enough, we're going to do a little Rolex coverage here in a minute, but kind of the story, I'm going to give you guys just a couple of the horses and kind of the story behind the story. It's basically stolen directly from Eventing Nation. I put my own spin on it. So we will get to that in just a second, but Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's, I can't wait to read the tweets from the Rolex Jog Wednesday edition.
Right?
Among many facts.
Me too.
Yeah. Well, and the pictures on Instagram, etc. Among the many facts, figures, and fascinating stories triggered by this upcoming event, we will have Rusty Nash, who's helping out retired standardbreds while he's playing the horses. And then rounding out this Wednesday mission, we hit a chuckle button with the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Very good. I got two daily winnies today. My first daily winnie goes out to our listener, Angela Bailey, who posted on our Facebook page. She said, I took the plunge. After hearing so many great things about the Shake and Fork, I finally bought one and it arrived today. Can't wait to unpack it and try it out. She said, thanks to EquityMFG.com. Well, you're going to absolutely love it, Angela. We want to report after you try it out. Now, one of the things about the Shake and Fork is it does take you a couple days to kind of get used to how it works. So you may have a period of hate. We always tell people there may be a couple of hours of hate, but after a couple of hours of hate, it will go to love.
The problem is you hit the button and that thing will go really fast, shake, like super fast. You have to learn the nuances of just gently depressing the trigger. You know, it's just squeeze the trigger.
The other thing you have to learn is not to continue to do all the work. One of the things when we got it and you press the trigger and you still want to shake the fork. You know, you still want to do half the work for it. And you have to kind of learn to let it do all the work for you.
Let it go. Let it go.
Let it be. So congratulations, Angela, on your new purchase. Yay! Good job. You'll love the thing. Can't wait to hear a report. You know, sometimes Jamie and I and Jennifer, we forget that there are people listening to the show. And as the show gets bigger and bigger, and we have tens of thousands of people listening to the show now, it takes a voicemail I got yesterday from a lady in Texas to remind us that we really are reaching a lot more people than we did 3 years ago. So we had a story, I actually covered a Help Wanted ad on Monday's show about Snow Mountain Ranch. Snow Mountain Ranch was looking for some wranglers for the summertime, and they're up in the Rocky Mountains. And they had an ad for the Wrangler, and they talked about the long hours and how you had to saddle up 60 to 100 horses every morning. And we talked about what kind of work that was. And we were kind of poking fun at, you know, how would it be to saddle up 60 to 100 horses every morning. Well, Mary Calkins from Texas called and left me a lovely voicemail, said she absolutely loves the show, listens and just tracks her up and everything. And then she said, and you talked about Snow Mountain Ranch. She said, I used to be a wrangler there. So she actually this job. She actually did this job. And
she's
said
still alive?
Yes. She said it was absolutely the most wonderful, probably the most wonderful job she ever had. It was just a really cool experience, you know, if you're a younger person, to go out there. She said the place is it's in the Rocky Mountains, you know, it's just beautiful. And she said you get to ride horses all day and meet with fun people. She just loved the job. She said, you know,
I'm sure that job is awesome if you're, like, in your early 20s and you really don't – like, to me, like, saddling up 60 horses instead of going to a cubicle, definitely a winner. Definitely a winner.
That's true. And, you know, when you're that young and you want to be in the horse business and do some horsey things, it's probably an experience every horse girl should have, actually. So we weren't picking on the ranch, and that looked absolutely beautiful. We were just kind of picking on the ad itself. So, Mary, yes, thank you for listening, by the way. We appreciate you being here and listening from Texas. So that just reminds us that we really aren't just talking to ourselves.
There's people listening. It's crazy. I have one of these. Happy 75th birthday, Glenn. Yay! Tomorrow's your birthday. Don't think you are going to get away scot-free with that one. Obviously, you're not 75. I was kind of joking. But tomorrow's Glenn's birthday, you guys. He's going to be pretty much in the car most of the day driving to Kentucky. So that's awful kind of you. And happy birthday. And any special plans?
We actually should be getting into the horse park. We're leaving after the show today, so we should be getting in tomorrow morning to the horse park. So we'll be spending, you know, what a better place to spend it. That I have spent probably, what, Jennifer, 8 of the last 10 of my birthdays at the Kentucky Horse Park for Rolex, because it always falls at Rolex time. So, you know, I'll eat something I'm not supposed to and, you know, hang out at the Kentucky Horse Park. Not too bad. Not too bad a gig. And we have press passes, so we can do whatever we want, which is kind of nice, too.
When you say you're going to eat something that you shouldn't, obviously they have a lot of food trucks in the, like, kind of vendors' food row at the horse park, including things like, you know, everything imaginable fried.
Right.
From, you know, fried cheese sticks all the way to fried. I think my girlfriend got last time fried cookie dough. And it doesn't sound like you could fry cookie dough, because wouldn't it just make fried cookies? But they were fried cookie dough, and they were disgusting. So what are you going to have? A fried Oreos? Like, what is your fried food, birthday food of choice?
See, for me, just having ice cream is a treat, because I'm not allowed, you know, that's not on my diet. No sugar and all that stuff. So for me, when I get to have ice cream, it's a really a treat. It doesn't even have to have anything in it. It can just be ice cream. And also, because I'm gluten-free too, having a like hamburger with a non-disgusting gluten-free bun is terrific too. So,
isn't it amazing how quickly you can train yourself to eat crappy food? Because as a vegetarian, I eat fake burgers and I eat all that kind of fake stuff. And then you get a, you know, just in, like you said, a gluten-free bun wrapped around your fake meat burger. It's like you just you learn to eat it.
You know what's funny, though? I just heard a report. Well, we're totally off topic, but I just heard a report this morning on how with the paleo is the new thing, right? Eat, a lot of people, this paleo diet's the new hot thing. And
you know what? The people in the Paleolithic era sure lived a long time. Genius. They were ancient at 20. Go ahead.
So the paleo is a hot thing, which means that it's actually getting harder, they said, for vegans and more for vegans than vegetarians, but it's actually getting harder for vegans because now everything is meat-based. So it's funny how it all goes in cycles, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I'm sorry, I can't go non-vegetarian over to the paleo diet. And you know what's really sad? Oh, let's not talk about it. Don't get me started on the people that try to eat like cavemen.
Hey,
ridiculously stupid.
Hey, if you're out and about and you're listening to the show and you want to chat with us, we don't say this often enough, you can give us a call at 347-637-3238. We don't have our first guest for another 20 minutes. So if you want to call in, if you're going to Rolex, and you want to let us know you're going to be there and we get to meet you, give us a call. But one thing I wanted to mention here is that Omega Alpha, our title sponsor on Mondays, is working with Eventing Nation to have a contest for Rolex. And basically it's simple. You send them the name of the horse and rider combination you believe will win Rolex along with their overall score. And you can win $150 worth of Omega Alpha products. What they want you to do is just email the name and the name of the horse and the rider, and as a tiebreaker, include your guest who will be second. And they'll go through the correct winners and choose the one that came closest to the actual winning score. So you can send that to en.contest@gmail.com with the subject line Pick 'em. So
awesome.
Jennifer can post that in our Facebook page as well. But, yep, so you can win prizes for picking the winner. I was looking through the list trying to think of who I would pick. And see, the problem with me looking through the list is because we've interviewed so many people and gotten to be friends with them is I always pick sentimental favorites as opposed to practical favorites.
Well, I'm going to give you just a couple of the outside stories. Just, you know, when you watch the Kentucky Derby and they always show you these heartwarming or these crazy stories of people, you know, driving from New Mexico all the way to Kentucky and they win the Derby. Those kind of, you know, pre-race stories that you get. Well, I've got a couple pre-Rolex stories for you. And some are comeback stories. Some are just little facts. But I'm going to go over them right now. I've only picked like 7 or 8 riders to cover. And just to let you know, okay, starting with Will Faudry and his horse named Paolo, P-A-W-L-O-W, Paolo. Well, Paolo has been getting ready for the last 6 months to come to Rolex because he had his second colic surgery last October. So 6 months ago, this horse was having his second colic surgery, and here he is at Rolex. Just so you know, I know she's a favorite of yours, Jessica Phoenix and Pavarotti. She's going to be riding Pavarotti through the whole thing, but I don't want you to worry when she withdraws to Exponential. She is planning to just do dressage with Exponential, so she'll only have Pavarotti doing all three.
Oh, really? Weeks.
Yep.
Did it say why? Is she planning on bringing Exponential as already qualified for the WEG or whatever?
Yeah, you know, a lot of them, if they're kind of WEG candidates or something, they want to go put in a good dressage test, or that's the only question that they have, or they don't want to run them around a 4-star track with the WEGs coming up. Yeah, who knows? Who knows why they do what they do, but any sort of reasons. I'm sure you can ask her. Kyle Carter is riding a horse named Madison Park. And, you know, Kyle is actually vying for the Canadian World Equestrian Team, WEG team. Well, his horse shouldn't even be there. Madison Park slipped a tendon off of his hock and tore a ligament. Okay? This is not something horses come back from, and they certainly don't come back to Rolex level. But he lost a tendon off a hock and tore a ligament, and here he is. Parker is back to Rolex. Amazing.
Wow.
Okay.
That's one of his old standby horses, too. He's had Parker for a while.
Yeah, he sure has. Jenny Brannigan and the horse named Kimbalda. Do you remember last year, Jenny Brannigan, the day before her dressage test, her groom was lunging Kimbalda. It's also named Ping. His barn name is Ping. And the lunge line broke, and he got away, and he scraped himself up so bad the day before her dressage test that she had to withdraw. Do you remember that?
I do, yep.
Well, she's back this year, and so, you know, hopefully good karma and all that, she's going to...
There will not be any lunging at her barn this week.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to pressure test the lunge lines, tie them to the truck, and pull them apart. just so you know, Doug Payne, who's always just a favorite of the Eventing Radio Show, he is actually just going to be doing the dressage with Crown Talisman because he's going to head to Semur for the horse's first international competition. So he will be there. Debbie, this is amazing. I'm sorry. Debbie Rosen is riding a horse named the Alchemist. And I love this horse. They're West Coast eventers. So I see them at all the Galways and all that kind of stuff. She rode Rolex in 2010, 7 weeks after completing chemotherapy for breast cancer. So Debbie Rosen is a breast cancer survivor, back again on The Alchemist for Rolex. So that I got to give her a little bit of this.
That's a really, really, really neat horse to watch go.
Oh, God, he's awesome. He is so awesome. But he's apparently... as probably all these horses are, incredibly difficult to ride. So she just tries to, you know, she was on our Rolex preview 2 years ago when we were talking to her about getting to Rolex when we had Barb Crable on, you know, it was like 2012.
Yep.
And then finally, just a side note, Kevin Keene is riding a horse named Fernhill Flutter, and he is a veterinarian that has been vetting horses at Rolex for many, many years, and not betting, but he's been like everybody's vet. And this is the first time he's going to ride Rolex himself. So Kevin Keene and Fernhill Flutter. Yay!
At 60,
good story.
I think he is 59 or 60 years old.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He's an older dude. It took him that long to
He'll be the oldest rider, actually. Even older than any of the Davidsons.
Ooh. Not true.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm like,
that's very
what
funny.
Are you talking about?
I was going to say even older than George Morris, but I don't think anybody's older than George Morris. So
You made me think. He's older than he's barely older than you, birthday boy.
Yeah. Hey, Leslie put some. Do you want to do the stats?
Yeah, I do. This is really cool. We can go back and forth. I don't have to do them all. But just starting at the top, Leslie Wiley, our favorite friend over at Horse Nation, did a Horses by the Number. And it's kind of a whole list of certain things about the horses and riders at Rolex. Like 29 Rolex horses were bred in North America. 34 were bred in other parts of the world. And then horses by breed, the most represented thoroughbred breed is the thoroughbred with 24, followed by the Irish sport horse at 16. And then there's, you know, Dutch warmblood, Oldenburg, Turkaner, Holsteiner, and a couple other warmblood breeds. The average age of a horse competing at Rolex is 13.
Wow. You know, that seems about right, I think. Doesn't it take you that long, really, to get them to that point?
That sounded pretty good, you know, 13. The youngest horses, and you can do the oldest horses. The youngest horses is Marilyn Little Smoke on the Water and Tim Bork's Lucan Quality are both 9 years old. So those are the youngest. The youngest is 9. That's young.
That is pretty young for this level of competition.
Doesn't it make you feel like maybe you haven't done enough with your horses? That like Edward's nine. I'm like, oh my God, I can barely ride him. He's barely broke.
I really did like to see that how many thoroughbreds as opposed to warmbloods are in this year's competition. That was nice to see.
Yeah, you know, they're not doing the long format, so the warmbloods have a better competitive edge in dressage, but it seems like it's starting to level out a little bit more. The oldest horses, Rachel Jurgens' Ziggy and Dana Wilstrand's Relentless Pursuit, both those horses are 18
wow.
years old. Isn't that cool?
Well, you remember a couple of years ago when Hedley Britannia won, and she was 18 at the time.
Yeah.
Won Rolex. That was a couple of years ago.
Yep. Guess how many of the horses, Jennifer, are mares?
Two.
63 horses. 63 horses going. You are close. It is nine. Nine of the 63
really?
Are mares. They are Gin and Juice. Tsunami, Petite Flower, Veronica, RF Demeter, Last Call, Catch a Star, Copycat Chloe, and Expedience. There are, you got it right, because there's only two chestnut mares.
Hey, Gin and Juice, you know, there's one to really still keep an eye on. Gin and Juice isn't out of the, with Holly Bennett riding.
She is. She wins everything on the West Coast. So, yeah, she'll be up there, definitely. The tallest horse is Looking Quality at 17.2, and the shortest horse is Libby Head's Sir Rockstar. He's at 15.1. 15.1.
Wow. Not too far over Pony there.
I know. And then 40 horses have four-star experience, but 23 horses going are new to the four-star level. So Rolex virgins, four-star virgins even, 23 of them. So we wish everybody the best of luck because it is awesome. But you're right. It is so cool to see so many thoroughbreds. And there's a ton of off-the-track thoroughbreds too. So we definitely cheer those guys on a little bit more too.
Now, help me get this worked out here, Jamie. The Rolex is the only four-star in North America, correct?
Yes.
So if you're an American rider and you don't have gobs of sponsors and or dollars, you don't have any other options but Rolex is your first four-star. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. I mean,
trial by fire.
You know, I think that, you know, sadly, a lot of our American riders, a lot of riders only get to do the four stars in their country. It's not normal for people to just hop in and plane and, you know, go train in Europe, but some people get the opportunity and some people don't. but yeah, these people work their whole lives to get here. You know, we talked to Ellen on Monday, Ellen Doty, who's riding Sir Oberon, and this is her dream. She has taken this horse and scraped by day after day after day. I mean, I met her four or five years ago, and she was taking this horse training. And she has been the one to work this hard to get herself to this level, and this is the culmination of her career with this horse. And it just makes it, to me, so much more emotional and so much more special. You know, I love Philip Dutton. I love Philip Dutton. But the fact that he got handed a horse 2 weeks ago, like, that's insane. And that is normal for Philip Dutton. That is not normal for somebody like Ellen.
No. It's not normal for most of the horse world.
No. You know, no. I mean, granted, he got handed a horse because his friend broke his leg, but whatever.
No.
You know, when you have that much skill, give it to Philip. It'll be fine. And you know the last person to win, an American to win, was Philip Dutton? But what's funny is he's actually Australian, technically. I mean, he's American now, but that's the last person to win that was American. And so I love, you know, Andrew, and I love, you know, Steve Cookie is one of my favorite horses, but I would love to see an American win. And be it Phillips,
and what year was it? Do you remember how long ago it was?
It was 4 or 5 years ago. It was a while ago. I'll have to look that up.
Is William Fox Pitt coming over, by the way?
He is. He has a couple horses. He's actually, you know, they're saying it's going to be a William Fox Pitt, Andrew Nicholson showdown. Because, yeah, I know. And, you know, not Americans. We just need to get American eventing back on track. But 60 entries, and they're saying it, you know, William Fox Pitt has won 12 four-stars. 12 four-stars.
Wow.
That's insane. And he just recently, I think he just won Poe last year, at the end of last year. And then Andrew Nicholson won Rolex last year, but he is not bringing that horse. He's going to take Quimbo to badminton, but he's got another horse here. I don't remember which one he has here. I can't find it in front of me. But he is definitely one of the ones to watch. You know, on the leaderboard, William Fox Pitt is number one, and Andrew Nicholson's down at number eight, but you think how many horses are in William Fox Pitt? You know, he had 9 horses qualified for Rolex. 9!
That's
9!
Crazy.
And Mark Todd is going to be here. You know, he's 58 years old, and he's got a – they're saying he's got, you know, a green horse. He was 7th in Burley last year, but he's still green. Like, how is a horse that has finished a 4-star green?
Are you excited? Are you excited, Jamie? I can't tell.
I am. I'm just trying to give everybody the coverage too. You know, behind the story, you know, then you kind of get a little more behind, excited for people. So I'm done. Carry on.
No, I'm not arguing
shut up
with
now.
You. I just think it's cute. Well,
this
we
is
are
a Super Bowl. I mean, this is like ESPN would break down this thing for days if they were smart, you know. But so we have to cover a lot in 20 minutes. So there you go. I'm done.
And if you do want the best coverage leading up to Rolex or even during, they post some great stuff. Eventing Nation is still the place that everybody goes. I think all eventers go there now. So if you want to see the stories behind the stories that Jamie was just talking about, read the articles, and Eventing Nation is definitely a good bet for you to follow it. We are going to change gears here a little bit. We are going to head over to the world. Another thing you're passionate about, though, now, after watching that show this year, is handicapping. And, you know, that's another thing that you become passionate about. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about it on the Standard Bread side and also other things with Rusty Nash coming up here in a minute. But first, we have to hear from our sponsor this half hour, and that is Equestrian Collections. We'll be right back. Hi, Glenn here, and I am with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
As you and all your listeners know, I am all about safety. And I am featuring this week a product called the Nunn Finer Equiping Safety Release. Now, I know that every single one of us has baling twine attached to our cross ties in our barns. And this takes the place of that. Not only does it easily, it comes apart, not real easily, not too easily. It comes apart at about the perfect weight. You know, you do want them to come apart if a horse is going to tear your barn down. But you don't want them to release too quickly if you have a baby that needs to have that little bit of pressure. And that's what this does for you. It's easy to put on. It also comes in a whole bunch of colors, so you can match your color scheme in your barn or on your trailer. It's also excellent to put through your trailer rings on the outside. And the reason I was actually featuring it, because most of your listeners probably have already seen this, is because of all the other stuff you can do with it. One of the people in my office uses it to attach her hay bale, you know, the net. We all put our hay in nets now so that they don't, you know, they don't eat too much or too fast. And you can use this thing to attach your hay net to your bunk. And that was, I thought, oh, that is so smart. So when you think about that, it opens up all kinds of things where anytime you need a little something to attach, but you want it to be safe so that it does come apart when it needs to come apart, this is something that you need to think about. And it comes in all these way cool colors. So it was a spring color fiesta of Equiping safety releases.
Very good. And you can find them at equestriancollections.com. We use these too. Absolutely love them. And I need to order some more for some other cross ties we have now.
I know where you can get them.
Equiping. You just go to equestriancollections.com, search for Equiping. You'll find them there, and you can order them in the color that you want.
Yep. Thank you so much, and happy spring.
I need some of those too, because I find my cross ties break before the baling twine does.
That's true.
Baling twine's so hard, so tough. All right, well, our first guest is on the line, Rusty Nash, who is participating in the upcoming World Harness Handicapping Championships. It's on the line. Hey, Rusty, good morning.
Well, good morning.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you. I heard that you used to be a horse owner until you got a daughter in college. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I raced both by myself and in a partnership with the Salerno Trezor Group. We had a couple good ones, Carl Spur and Shark Street Partners, and a couple others that were just a notch below. So we had a chance to race for some big money, exciting times.
But then the first three went to college.
Yeah, oh, three of them at one time.
Yeah. Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, the first wedding's a week. In a week, so.
Oh my gosh. Well, we were just talking about, I have a son who's 10 months old, and I'm shocked at how expensive babies are. Just, they're so expensive. And then that's nothing compared to three girls' weddings and colleges. Oh my gosh. How are you hanging in there?
Not very well, but it's been a fun ride. The second one turned out to be identical twins, so it was a unique ride. So.
Yeah. That's just even better. Yeah. Oh my gosh! So the first one's getting married. Due as a dad, he says, now I get to ask you questions because you know my dad went through this. Do you like him?
Yeah,
Don't worry, nobody put you on the spot at all,
Rusty.
Yeah, I tease my daughters that they're marrying their dad. He's sort of nerdy like I was at that age. So.
All right, so then you must like him if he's like you, right? I mean.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's got a good job. They're both working and doing well, so I'm very happy for them.
Fantastic. Well, that's good.
I'm lucky. I'm a lucky man that way.
That's great. Oh, well, so what are the World Harness Handicapping Championships?
Well, once a year, the Meadowlands Racetrack runs this large tournament. Usually it's on one of their finals nights for some of their series that they run in the winter. And they work with some of the other racetracks and other racing entities to try to get them to sponsor seats. So there's, you know, Pompano runs a contest, they fly somebody in. Buffalo runs a contest, they fly somebody in. The USTA buys 10 seats every year and runs 10 contests where the top person wins a seat. So normally there's about 100 or so people. With it being the Saturday before Easter this year, it was a little less. It was 80-some-odd folks that showed up for it. But basically it's, you know, either the best or the brashest show up to play this thing.
Gotcha.
This year I was asked to play for charity. I've played not all the years, but many of the years. Occasionally I had stuff going on and the dates didn't work for me. But the folks at the Meadowlands thought it would be a good idea to raise awareness for some of the horse rescue operations that are out there. And there's several dozen of them that do really good work. And the Meadowlands donated a seat for me to play. It was last weekend. And anything that I won would go to the horse rescues that I selected. I hadn't expected to have to pick the rescues myself. That became a daunting job when I did a little research because every one of them does very well. They all do really good, important things for our retiring racehorses. I've placed a couple myself that were no longer able to race, so I know how tough it can be. So I wanted to try to raise awareness. The whole thing was raising awareness to try to raise more donations. So the tournament didn't go very well for me this time around. I finished as high as fifth in the finals. I was third last month in March in the preceding tournament. So I did make a few wagers for charity, trying to put them out on tweets. Then the Meadowlands followed my tweets, and we were sending out to quite a few folks, and hopefully we've, in addition to raising awareness, we're able to raise some additional donations for them.
That's great. No, yeah, that's right, because we were supposed to talk to you a couple weeks ago, and we got disconnected. We weren't able to connect with you. So this was last weekend, but fifth place out of how many? That's not bad. That's pretty respectable, and I know that because I watched the TV show Horse Players, and Horse Players.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I have heard of the show and seen parts of it. My job kept me on the road every day, every week, so I never actually saw an episode of it. But my buddies all talk about it. So.
Well, Rusty, there are such things as DVR, my friend, TiVo. And so you can get on there and you can record it and then you can watch. But of course, these guys are playing the thoroughbreds. But, you know, there'll be 100 people in these competitions. I had no idea that playing horses was such a big sport at the track. But 100 people, they'd be thrilled with a fifth place finish.
Yeah, there were this was a few years ago, the fifth place finish I had. But it was exciting. It was nerve-wracking. You know, you're sitting there having made your last wager and hoping nobody goes by you, you know. And it can be quite frustrating. And the thing that horse players like about this, you always think about landing that big trifecta or superfecta, right? Well, here, right. If you can win your way in especially, you have a chance for a $15,000 to $20,000 payday. And a wonderful gentleman from, I think, Michigan won the contest Saturday night. He picked a $75 horse in the second race, and once a long shot like that hits, it throws everybody off the game because the objective is to try to win the big money. So you're firing on long shots that you normally would not bet, right? So it's not like you can just show up and bet, you know, how you normally would. You can't do that. It's a win and place wagering only. And biggest bankroll wins when you're done.
Oh, my God. I feel like I'm watching the TV show right now. You're talking just like those guys. It's like, you know, one guy hits a long shot, it throws you off your game, and then you're betting the horses you wouldn't have bet normally, and then you got to go on chase, and you got to catch up. And I'm telling you, Rusty, this is awesome.
That's right.
You should be on that show.
It would be fun. I tell you, it would be fun. I don't know that I could afford the time to do that, but who knows, right?
You never know. Who knows?
I've played some T-bred stuff before, and I had a top 10 in the old 10 National World Series of racing years ago, but they stopped that once the tournament started in Vegas and the other tracks like Delaware started to run these large tournaments, so they couldn't fill the field anymore.
So I got it.
Those are three-day tournaments. Yep.
Go ahead, Glenn. Sorry.
Yeah, I just wanted a quick question here. Are you mostly betting on standardbreds or thoroughbreds, and you don't cross over, or do a lot of the guys cross over and do both? You know, do they do dogs too, or are those all separate people?
There is some small crossover. I think in areas where the tracks are physically located, you will get crossover in the New York metropolitan area. Where I live out in the Poconos here, I just do find myself doing better with standardbreds. I've written some software of my own that goes through and looks for certain conditions and projects ratings for myself. And having owned horses, I look at every race as if it was a claiming race and say, okay, if I had to claim one of these, which one would it be and why? So I look at different things. I think that having raced horses for 10 years gives me a little bit of an edge because I think like the trainer or the owner does when we're trying to place horses in spots to let them win. You know, do you go into a claiming handicap trying to draw the inside, or do you go down a notch but, you know, risk take the outside? All those sort of things, trying to intuit what the trainers were intending to do.
Okay, Rusty. So Glenn and I are heading to Keeneland on Friday, and we're going to walk in, and they're going to hand us that book that we really hardly know how to read.
Yeah, that's right.
So when you sit down, what is the first thing that you look at that form?
The first thing I look at, and I'll translate this to harness racing, is What I do is I grab the electronic version of the racing program first, which is just a digital file that you can get from, you know, Trackmaster, and I'm sure the other companies out there have it as well. And I have some macros that I wrote in Excel, and then I went and edited those macros, actually writing some Visual Basic code myself. My background is technology, and I actually create my own version of the program that I use as a supplement to then the actual program, which I download. The difference is what I've done with my program is I try to project how fast my horse could go today based on the trip he had last time. So I don't look at his actual time. I try to figure out what his best time could have been given that pace scenario last week.
So
and
Glenn,
then I rank my horses by those numbers. Sure.
Okay, so Glenn, it's not the name. Okay, he's not looking at the name
right.
first.
All right,
so
tell me
that.
Something. Okay, you're saying that's how I pick the horses, but I guarantee you that 50% of the people at track pick horses that way. So now, am I right about as much as you are?
Probably almost as much. The difference between a good player and a poor player is probably two or three winners. But the difference is a good horse player won't play a lot of his winners because the guy who takes this seriously is not going to bet every race, and he's only going to bet races where the horse he actually likes has a price that he likes that is higher than he thinks his chances to win. So very simply, if I think there are three major contenders for a race, and for the sake of argument, I make them all 5-2 in my own personal fair odds line, I won't bet anybody at 5-2 or 2-1, but if one of them goes up to 4-1, he then gets eligible for me to play because his value is greater than what I think his chances of winning are. It's like buying value stocks in the stock market. The real problem with this is almost nobody has the patience to sit and wait and play only those horses. All right, so that's the real way in, that
and,
folks...
And you're betting more than Jamie and I's $2.
Yes, the professionals do. I don't put myself in that class by any means.
Well, cool. What charity did you end up playing for, by the way, so we can give them a plug and send people
absolutely.
To their website?
I came down on, first of all, the Standard Bred Racing Foundation, which is based out of New Jersey here. Paula Campbell is involved, and I was working with Janine there. When I was with the Salerno Trezza Partners, we used to donate $100 for every win to that. That was part of the partnership policy. They do great work. They place lots of horses. Now, the other group I chose, silly me, if I won $20,000, I didn't want it all to go to one spot, was a place called New Vocations.
We love them.
They originally started as thoroughbreds, but have expanded their standard bred program substantially. In fact, it was Timmy Tetrick who contacted me to take a bigger look at them. And when I did, I saw they're almost as large as the Standard Bred Racing Retirement Foundation is. And they've got three farms that are in use now for standard breds. And geographically, they're separated from New Jersey. So I wanted to get a little bit of spread there. That's to take nothing away from any of the other rescues. If you go to Hannah Harness, actually hashtag Hannah Harness 2014, there's a tournament I played in last year and playing this year where there are 15 handicappers playing for a bunch of different charities. And so that was the list I used of other charities. I'm playing for somebody in Virginia this year, and last year I won for some money for a charity up in Maine.
Well,
so we do it for bragging rights, but it's all for a good cause to raise money for the our retired warriors, so to speak.
Well, Rusty, I sure do appreciate what you do, and I could ask you a million questions, but I think it would be a little too detailed for a listener, for Glenn, because I do watch that show.
I'm
trying
name.
To get all this, the nuances
Glenn,
involved.
That's the gray horse, Glenn.
You got it.
That's the gray with the fun name. Okay.
That's right.
But you know what? You have picked Derby winners on this show.
I have.
So, I'll have another. There you go. Thank you so much, Rusty. And we want to be let us know when you're going to do another one, and we can kind of follow you through the whole process. That'd be awesome.
Okay, sure. I've got your email. I'd be happy to do that when the season starts next year.
Okay, fantastic. We'll follow you, and we'll cheer for you, and thanks for helping those at New Vocations. We are huge fans of that charity.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
And good luck this weekend at the wedding. Have fun.
Thank you so much. We're going to try.
All right.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Poor Rusty. I don't know how sure he was about his new son-in-law.
He's like,
I think we caught him off guard asking him about that, but, you know, I didn't realize, you know, you see the guys at the track with the cigars and, you know, they look like they've lived there. You know, you always, and I've seen, we used to go to Greyhound racing in Connecticut when we visited my relatives, because it was like a couple miles from where we used to go. And that's the first racing I ever saw was Greyhound racing. And you have these guys with the cigars and look like they had lived there and not washed their clothes in 12 weeks. But, you know, I never realized it was such a big thing, the whole handicapper thing.
Yeah. There'll be, on the show, obviously it's a TV show, but there'll be like hundreds and hundreds of people in the in these handicapping challenges, and they're all over the country, and it's really, really cool to watch. I just had no idea, and they're not all the guys with the cigars and the, hey, you know, like living at the racetrack. Like one of the guys in the show is very holistic, and he, you know, like rubs oils on his temples before the races to like help him get clarity to pick the winner. Chad hates that guy. Chad watches Horse Thirsty. He's like, that guy's such a douche. I hate that guy. You know, and I'm like, you know what? It works. And they, like, he even took some of the other handicappers in the last episode. He took them to go see a psychic and get their chakras cleaned. I mean, it was hilarious. So I guess, it's moved into a different realm of, people. It's not all that shady, giant guy with the cigar and, you know, standing with the giant hat on underground. You know, you just see him, like, looking all shady and tracky. But it's not like that anymore.
My dad, my grandfather, actually, who lived near the Greyhound track in Connecticut, He used to get the racing form every day at home, and he used to study it, and he knew how to read it, and he tried to show us how to read it when we were kids, but he used to do that every day, but yet he never went to the track to bet, but he used to keep track of, and that was pre-internet days, you know, he used to keep track of how much he would have won, and it was some astronomical amount by the time he was done, but he said, you know, if I would have went and actually did it, I probably would have changed my mind when I got there, or, you know, not done what my plan was, and I would have ended up losing like everybody else. So he only did it for the mental exercise of it, but he did it every single day that they were running at that Greyhound track. I remember him sitting there studying that program just in and out. He knew every part of that program. I just can't read. It's just so confusing for me. I just can't.
Well, once you figure out, I only know, like, you look at the racing program, racing form, and there's a long line of numbers, and I only know what a couple of those numbers mean. So I just look at, I'm like, oh, okay, there's a bullet work there. I want to do this. I'm going to do this. Oh, this horse carrying this much weight, and he ran this kind of race last time. But all of those, like, how his works and all, I don't know times and it's terrible because I was an exercise rider.
And let's be totally honest. You go out, look at the horse, and go, he's pretty. He'd make a great adventure. I'll bet on him.
I know, and I lose so bad that way because I pick the ones that would jump great, not run great.
That's right, or good dressage horses. Like that commercial that was years ago. Well,
the
let's take a break.
Bull, yeah.
Let's take a break
the horse
for our
that
song.
Comes out of the starting gate doing the pee off, is that what you're talking about?
Yes, that's the one.
That's my horse.
That's the one. How'd you remember what that was for? I'm impressed. You actually remembered that.
It's a horse commercial, Glenn. We all remember it.
We want to thank our HRN, official HRN auditors, those that have signed up to help support the programming here at the Horse Radio Network, like becoming a member. For as little as a dollar a month, you can do that. We've had a bunch of people do it. All of the initial incentives have gone out. We sent out a lot of HRN auditor coffee mugs and baseball hats and I've gotten responses from a couple of our auditors saying that they are drinking their morning coffee out of it. And I also have sent out the first of the, well, what we're doing with auditors, too, is they get to try out a lot of products we get in or read the books and do reviews here on the show. So if you want to be a product reviewer here, that is one of the advantages of becoming an auditor here at the Horse Radio Network. And as I said, you can do that for as little as a dollar a month. And we appreciate everybody that signed up. The first couple of books went out to people. And we have some more products here that we'll have after Rolex that we'll be notifying the auditors about, and they'll be reviewing for us. So if you want to be involved in that process, just one of the perks of being an auditor as well as many others. You can go to horsesinthemorning.com, go to the banner in the middle of the page, and it takes you just a couple of seconds to sign up through the program we use, and you can become an official auditor of the Horse Radio Network. Thank you so much to everybody that has done that. And now, off of Bren Hill, we had him on the show on Monday. His CD, Ode to Selway, there's a fun song on there called Cowgirls Goodbye. We're going to play that, and then we're coming back with the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge in a few minutes.
Percocet takes the edge off. Ibuprofen takes the swell. Ice packs upon these old broken bones. Man, I still feel like hell. But I've had broken bones before. I bucked off to save my life. This pain I feel, it will never heal. Your sharp tongue cuts me like a knife. Hell has no fury like cowgirls goodbye. Colder than the norther blowing across the Texas sky. Sharp like a dagger digging deep into my side. Hell has no fury like a cowgirl's goodbye. I can't run to chase you down, and I won't make it on my own. Night comes again, pain rushes in. I sober up and realize that you're gone. Hell has no fury like cowgirls goodbye. Colder than the norther blowing across the Texas sky. Sharp like a dagger digging deep into my side. Hell has no fury like a cowgirl. Just a whisper in that cold panhandle wind. I'll be back on my feet in a couple of weeks, but I'll never be the same again. Hell has no fury like a cowgirl's goodbye. It's colder than the norther blowing across the Texas sky. Sharp like a dagger digging deep into my side. Hell has no fury like a cowgirl's goodbye. Thank you.
Well, that was Cowgirls Goodbye by Brent Hill, and that is off of his new CD that we talked about here on the show on Monday, Ode to Selway. You can find all of his music. Just go to iTunes and search for B-R-E-N-N Hill, Bren Hill. That's you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. We are coming to you on the last day from our studios, and then we'll be heading out to Rolex after the show today. We're heading out, Jennifer or Jamie, tomorrow. We will be coming to you live from Rolex on Monday morning at 9 a.m. We have a recorded show for you tomorrow. And then Sunday morning, and a very unusual Sunday show, at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning as well from Rolex. Couple of news stories here before we get into our celebrity trivia challenge. And this is one you should be very proud. And we'll be driving through there today. You should be a very proud Georgian as the Georgia Equestrian Team brought home the 2014 NCEA National Championship when it defeated South Carolina. And, of course, that is in equestrian. This is the sixth national title and the first since 2010. And Georgia ended the season 11-4. Georgia has always done very well with their equestrian team. They're always doing great.
They raised really good riders. What up? Yeah.
Hey, there was an accident yesterday where a horse-drawn wagon overturned at an Oklahoma elementary school. Did you see that?
No, but I have an even crazier story once you get done with this one.
Well, this one, they were doing some kind of special day there called the Land Run, and it's something that they do out there, and it's a Mustang Public Schools. How cool is it to go to the Mustang Elementary School? Anyway, they had this wagon there, and they were taking the kids for a wagon ride, and apparently something broke, or they think that something broke and spooked the horses, or they weren't sure, but it caused the wagon to flip over, and 9 of the kids were injured. A couple of them went to the hospital. A lot of them were treated on the scene, but it took a couple hours for the paramedics to clear up the scene. But a wild ride that they're going to be talking about for a long time to come at the Mustang Elementary School in Oklahoma.
No kidding. No kidding. Yeah. Oklahoma. Proud. So do you remember that story, Glenn, a long time ago? And I think this is what started the zombie donkey conversation, which was the Texas mayor that was killed by one of his donkeys.
Yes, yes. That's what started the zombie donkey conversation. That is correct.
Yeah, so the story is this guy was, walking the field, and his body was found, and they assumed because he had, like, hoof prints on him, and he was killed by one of his aggressive donkey jacks. Well, body of a former Texas mayor is going to be exhumed for a post-mortem because his family will not accept that he was killed by the donkey, and they are going to reopen the case, Glenn. They are reopening the case.
So it might not have been a zombie donkey?
It might not have been. They're saying that he was murdered. Murdered! So donkeys could be totally off the hook, but they're digging this guy back up. That's how serious this family is about getting the postmortem on their loved one, is that he's been gone since August of 2012, and the family is still saying that it's murder, and they want to get the answers, and so they've had to go through, all sorts of federal government bureaus to get the investigation underway, and they have done, they're still waiting on one organization to give them the okay, but they're going to dig them up, and they're going to find out.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
So donkeys could be off the hook. You think it was a donkey union that helped out, too?
I know.
They were in there, yeah.
A donkey rescue was like, dig him up! No, I mean, it's a sad story, but yeah, I mean, if it was murder, then the donkey was wrongfully accused. I don't even know, did they put the donkey down? I don't even remember what happened.
I don't remember either. Just remember that's where the donkey's got a bad name, was that story. On our show, anyway.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Well, let's do this, because it's that time of the week.
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. where each week a different unsuspecting world-renowned celebrity equestrian is pitted against a humble Horses in the Morning listener willing to risk it all for a prize package or a nod of approval from one of the greats from the equestrian universe. Now, let the battle of equestrian acuity begin.
Well, I'm very excited that for this week's EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge, we have somebody that I met at Road to the Horse, and we're going to meet her in just a minute. But first, I have to remind you that this is sponsored by EquityMFG.com with the best manure forks on the market today. Another listener has chimed in on our Facebook page and said that she just bought the Shaken Fork. If you clean more than three stalls a day, then the Shaken Fork is what you want. It does half the work for you, will save you half the time, half the bedding, and yes, it is a motorized manure fork, has a little trigger at the end, you press and the little head goes, and it is, when I clean the stalls here, that's all I use. I don't care how far I have to walk where the Shaken Fork is. I go get the Shaken Fork, and I come back and use it because it frustrates me to use anything else now.
How's it go?
It goes like that. And it's control. You know what I didn't learn right away was that you can actually control the speed of the thing with the trigger, because at first you turn it on and everything goes flying everywhere, and then you have to figure out that you can actually control the speed of the thing. It is made so well, so durable, and it truly will be the last manure fork that you buy in a long time. Take a look at the Shaken Fork. Many, many of our listeners have. They all love them. Head on over to EquityMFG.com. The only female competitor at this year's Road to the Horse, and somebody I met there, absolutely lovely, and she will be competing again there next year as a wild card, Mary Kitzmiller. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. How are you?
Terrific. It was so good to meet you in Lexington a little bit ago.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. Good times.
And you obviously were a competitive wild card competitor there, and you're going to be again next year. And you picked out another Mustang to train up for the entire year. What was that one's name, and how's it going?
Well, he's not a Mustang. He's out of the.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm sorry.
I do the Mustang makeovers too, so it's easy to confuse. But he's a colt out of the Sixes Remuda, and this is the same Remuda that the Road to the Horse competitors choose their colts from, and whatever's left over is what the wild cards get. And I picked out a really great colt this year. His registered name is Bridal Fever, and he's by a stud named Playboy's Buck Fever and out of the Paddy's Irish Whiskey Mare.
And one of the best people, by the way, if you ever want to follow, one of the best people on Facebook to follow is Mary. I love how you do your Facebook posts.
Oh, good. well, I do. I have a page that I post about the events that I do, as well as updates on the horse. And I've named him Guthrie. And he's just a big old pretty bay quarter horse. And we started our training. I've got a few rides on him, and he's doing really good.
Well, terrific. Well, I was a big fan before Road to the Horse this year. We're all rooting for you here at the Horse Radio Network, and we're going to be doing the same again next year. So we'll be there rooting you on, and we hope that you and this quarter horse will win the whole thing.
That's the plan, and that's the hope anyway. He's a great horse, so we'll see how it goes.
Well, you are going to be playing for a charity today. Tell us about your charity.
It's one that my mother and I already donate to every month. It's a rescue located in Argyle, Texas, known as Ranch Hand Rescue, and they do some really amazing work, and they take in a lot of desperate cases and are able to rehab horses. And what they're able to do with some of these horses, medically, some of them are last chance case causes that a lot of people wouldn't really take on, and they've just done a brilliant job. So I'm real glad to be playing for them today.
Well, terrific. And that's Ranch Hand Rescue in Argyle, Texas. Well, we wish you the best of luck, Mary. You know how it goes, and we're going to introduce you to your competitor at this point. And her name is Kieran Armstrong. She's actually not too far from where we live here in Florida. She's in Reddick, Florida. Good morning, Kieran.
How you doing?
Good. So glad you could join us today. Do you say hi to Mary?
Hey, Mary. How you doing?
Hey. Good. How are you?
Not too bad at all.
Now, Mary, you live in Texas. Where do you live, Mary?
I'm about an hour southeast of Dallas in a town called Kemp, Texas.
All right. So we have Florida versus Texas today. So we have a good competition today. Karen, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Look, I'm a young horse developer. I'm based in Redick, Florida. Obviously, I'm Australian. I travel back and forth between the two, and that's about my life at the moment.
So you train horses here, and where are you from in Australia?
I'm from Queensland, Australia. So I'm in the warm part. Florida does not get warm enough for me.
You're really, really in the warm part. And you said you train horses. Are you doing quarter horses, all types of horses? What are you doing?
I do a little bit of everything. I normally specialize in young horses, so I do a lot of foals, weanlings, yearlings, and colt starts. And I also do a lot of coaching. So I do most of my clinics and such back in Australia. And then when I'm here, I work for a lady, Kelly Crickenberg, who is a she owns a company called the Horse Education Company. And she's got her hand in quite a few different training things. She's very, very good with liberty horses and young horses and does some presentations around the place and such.
Well, very good. Well, we're so glad to have you join us today. Today's prize you guys are going to be playing for, and the charity can auction it off if they want, is a Carrots bootcut tight. The ultimate in versatility, this pant can be worn with paddock boots or easily tucked into half chaps or tall boots. Figure flattering compression microcord is supportive, provides unrestricted movement, and looks great both around the barn and around the town. I know Jennifer wears these, absolutely loves them. They're over $100 value. And that is what you're playing for today. Janie will explain how it all works.
Yes, so I'm going to ask questions to you ladies one at a time, and I will start with Kieran and then go to Mary, and we'll go back and forth, and your questions will be similar. If you get it right and we have a tie, if everybody gets everything right or you end up tying at the end, we will go to the tiebreaker, which I will explain when we get there. Are you ladies ready?
Absolutely.
Wow, that was enthusiastic. Mary, you ready?
I am totally ready.
Karen, you ready?
There you go, Mary.
I am. This is my first trivia game ever.
Well, there you go.
Ditto, so, yeah, I'm a little nervous, but...
It's not, you know, the newlywed game. It's no pressure. It's all about horses. You don't have to answer questions about men, just horses, okay? So it's the easiest one you'll come across. Ready? True or false? Number one, true or false?
This is for Kieran.
Yes, this is for Kieran. A buckskin always has a distinctive dorsal stripe.
False.
That is correct. Good
correct.
For you.
It is the dun that always has the buckskin, the dorsal stripe, not the buckskin. Congratulations. Now, Mary, we move to you. True or false? True or false? The word Mustang is derived from a Spanish word for stray livestock.
Oh, well, I know the Spanish word. I'm going to go ahead and say true.
That's right.
Oh, good.
And what's the Spanish word?
Okay, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it. I think it's Mustaño. Is that correct?
That's
close
what
enough.
I thought. This one says Mustrenko. So I think Mustaño is the Mexican word. I think Spanish word is a little different. Who knows?
Oh,
I'm
okay.
guessing.
Oh, wait a minute. Jennifer has, the judge has chimed in and said there are two, and you're both correct, that you're correct also. There's two words for it.
Okay, good.
So.
Well, we were both right, Mary. All right, Kieran, we move to you. This is multiple choice. One to one, multiple choice. Where is the American Quarter Horse Association based? Is it A, Tulsa, Oklahoma? B, Amarillo, Texas. C, Omaha, Nebraska.
Amarillo, Texas.
That's right. Jeez, you guys are good. Very
good.
Are
smart.
Yay. Yay. That is correct. So, Mary, you must get this one right to continue the tie. This is also multiple choice. What is the most common color registered with the AQHA? Is it A, sorrel, B, bay, or C, roan?
I'm going to go with A.
Chestnut is correct.
Not chestnut. Yeah, that's it.
Chestnut is correct. Sorrel is correct. That is the right answer. I don't know what the numbers are, but I would imagine they're pretty high as far as red horses go. So continue the tie. 2-2. You guys are 100% perfect so far. Now we get into the big brain stuff, Kieran. So here's what you have to do. I know. Spell, and see, you're Australian too. Maybe this will work, maybe not. Spell the word tapadero. It's a hooded stirrup. Tapadero.
No Googling. No Googling.
All right.
No Googling. Come on. You have 5 seconds.
No Googling. Come on. I'm outside with the foals. Tapadero. C-A-P-A-D-E-R-I-O.
Oh.
No, sorry. Tapadero, and apparently you heard it incorrectly, but it's T-A, T as in Tom, Tapadero, T-A-P-A-D-E-R-O. So sorry about that.
I think we have a language barrier there. I think we had a language barrier. It kind of reminds me of talking to Tammy, doesn't it, our host of the Western radio show, Tammy Sarant. I just think I'm talking to her. She's also from Australia.
Yeah. I know. And she's probably pretty, too, Kieran. So, it's, you know, Australians are all hot.
Oh, look, I am dead gorgeous.
Extra point for that.
Mary, we move to your spelling word.
Wait a minute. Stop. Before we ask the question, I want to clarify that Texas girls are pretty, too. I just want to clarify that.
Okay,
Mary
good.
Included. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's just a given, so.
Yes, that's
true. You're just afraid of getting your ass kicked by a Texas girl. That's really
That is it. True, also.
True story. All right, we move to Mary. Mary, if you get this correct, you are the winner. Spell the word chaparral.
Okay, it's either two P's or two R's. This is going to be hard. Okay, C-H-A-P-E-R-R-A-L.
Oh.
Dang it. Dang it.
You were right with the two R's. It is C-H-A-P-A-R-R-A-L.
And what it do we know what it is, Mary? Do you know what chaparral is?
You know, I had a briar horse with that name, but I have no clue what it means.
Yeah.
I should have known how to spell it.
I only knew how to spell it because I've written a very large check to the Chaparral Animal Hospital that is located near here. But it is a vegetation consisting chiefly of tangled shrubs and thorny bushes. So basically the crap you don't want to get stuck in on a trail ride.
Okay.
Sorry. So that means we're tied? We're tied up?
We are tied. And
yeah,
we
got to go again.
We go move to the tiebreaker here. So how this tiebreaker works is I am going to start reading clues. And as soon as you know the answer, yell out your name. Your name is your buzzer, and then I will call on you, and you can say the answer. Don't just yell out the answer because sometimes it's hard to tell you guys apart. Are you ready?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Go for it.
Okay. Name the movie. This 1998 film by Robert Redford.
Karen.
Mary.
Oh, I heard Karen first.
Yep.
The Horse Whisperer.
That's right.
Woo! Karen's the winner.
That was fast.
Congratulations. That was fast. My gosh.
Good job, Karen.
Why, thank you. Well, look, there wasn't a lot of choice, I got to be honest.
True. I think Robert Redford wasn't in a whole lot of horse movies, was he?
I didn't say name the horse movie. I just said name the movie, and she nailed it. The rest of the clues were based on a novel by Nicholas Evans. Scarlett Johansson played the teenager. The equine star was named Pilgrim, blah, blah, blah. You guys would have got it on the next clue. But congratulations. Glenn, tell her what she's won.
You have won the Carrot Bootcut tights. And if you haven't ever worn these, you're really going to like them. English or Western, doesn't matter, they're bootcut. But these are the best tights out there. Carrots makes great products, and they're worth over $100. So we're going to ship those. You will be not only the hottest girl in Florida, you will be the hottest girl in Australia, too.
Wearing these I do what I can.
Kieran, thank you so much for joining us. Hold on. Jennifer's going to make sure we have your address to get those sent out to. Jennifer, if you could talk to her off the air, I'd appreciate that. And Mary, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you being fun and just willing to have a little bit of fun this morning.
Yeah, not a problem. It was a good time.
Thank you, Mary. Good luck with the horses, and we'll see you at next year's Road to the Horse.
All right, thanks.
It was
all
so
right,
close,
bye-bye.
Too. I mean, she yelled her name out half a second after Karen did. My gosh, that was
I know.
Cool.
It was really close. And if you want to check out her charity, it's Ranch Hand Rescue in Argyle, Texas. You know, we have gone to the tiebreaker, I'd say, what, 8 out of 10 times? It's been almost every time.
And you just ask people how to spell things, and we'll go to the tiebreaker every time.
You know, I thought Jennifer did a good job. I have to congratulate Jennifer and applaud Jennifer. She did a good job of picking questions that fits the guests. She really did.
Yes, and no bad jokes this time. Thank goodness.
Yeah, you noticed that? There weren't any bad jokes.
Yes.
Let me do this here 1 second. I see you here. Baby Luke is up and about.
Yes, I know. My time is coming to an end. Father has left for work. Mother is home with the child trying to work. So we are running out of patience and time.
We are gonna wrap it up because we are also heading out for Kentucky right after the show. So we have to finish getting packed and head out. We'll just remind everybody that we'll have a recorded show tomorrow, and then Friday morning at 9 a.m. live from the Kentucky Horse Park. And, Jamie, I'm looking forward so much, one, to beating the little guy and seeing you again. It's been a while.
I know. It has been a while. Like I said, I didn't get to go to Rolex last year because I was about 15 months pregnant with this little one. So I felt – and I say that because I just felt like a giant monster. So, yes, you will see the product of my not being there. Remember, you guys, we're going to meet up 30 minutes before cross country starts at jump number one. I hope you guys can join us. If you can't make it then, come see us at our broadcast. We're going to be broadcasting live Friday and Sunday morning inside the old indoor. It's kind of hard to see because there's a lower level and then there's an upper level, and we're kind of in between those on one side, like basically 50-yard line if it was a football stadium, and we're kind of in the middle. So just look for the Horse Radio Network banner. I know there's a lot going on, but come visit us. Say hi. We'll put you on the air if you want to, and otherwise, if not. I'm so excited. I get to meet Betty Faye for the first time. I bought a horse from her sight unseen, and we email all the time. I send her pictures of the Duke and everything, and I've never met her. So I finally get to meet the lady I bought the horse from. Thank God he turned out good, because otherwise I'd have to kick her in the shins. And he's awesome. So I get to hug her.
Have you ever met Reese and Samantha? You met Samantha.
Yeah.
I know you met Samantha at the Eventing Radio Show. How about Reese?
Yes, of course I've met Reese. Of course.
Okay. So we'll get to see them, too. I'm excited that we'll get to see both of them, Reese from the Dressage Radio Show, and Samantha also from the Eventing Radio Show will be there. So, and also we'll get to meet Leslie from Eventing Nation. She's going to stop by on Friday morning.
Just, I am taking applications because I don't have anybody to watch him Sunday morning before the show or during the show. So if you would like to hang out with my son, total strangers welcome, that would be great. Just send me an email, jamie@horseradionetwork.com. Thank you.
I'm sure we'll find somebody, I'm sure, to do that. That won't be a problem. We'll find somebody. And we're remiss if we do need to mention this before we go, and that is there is another big competition going on at the Kentucky Horse Park when we're there, and it is raining. Raining qualifier for WEG is happening. And we will have some of the Rainers joining us Friday morning as well. We're not ignoring the Rainers. So they will be coming over, and Jennifer and I will be going out Saturday night to watch the freestyle raining, which is a lot of fun. So we'll have some reports on raining, and by Sunday morning when we do our live show, we'll know who is what with the raining. I think we'll have a good idea of who's qualified for the WEG. And there are some other teams there as well. It's not just the United States, but Sweden is going to be represented and a few other countries. So there, it's also qualifiers for them. So we'll meet some of them on Friday morning also. So we'll have cowboy boots and helmets there both over the weekend.
Absolutely. You guys have a great day. Hopefully you get to go ride your horse today. And don't forget spay, neuter, and geld.
See you tomorrow, Jamie.
See you then, birthday boy.
75. I'm only 52. Close to 75.
Thought I'd throw you off with that.
Yeah, you did.